I'm comedian, writer, and filmmaker Chuck Staton from the punk band Senior Discount.
And I'm writer and comedian Brad Rohr from the Providence Improv Guild.
And this is the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 580 of the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
I'm Chuck.
I'm Brad.
How you doing, Brad?
Mournful.
Oh, you're grieving already?
Nostalgic. A lot of feelings. Whoo.
Can I tell you something?
Yes, please.
Because, you know, I've had a lot of times in my life where something that was important to me ended.
Yes.
Right? And not even necessarily the important thing, but maybe my... Like, you know, there was people that left the band that were important to the band, my band Senior Discount, or different things like that.
That's how I feel when Pizza Hut stopped doing the lunch buffet.
Did you say you couldn't eat stuffed crust pizza because of the diarrhea?
No, I said I didn't like it.
Oh.
The diarrhea.
I love it.
Yeah. The diarrhea.
I can't eat it because of the diarrhea. Yeah, okay. it's too much cheese for one man's colon. This man's colon, anyway.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I wish I didn't.
So... Yes. After 13 years of diarrhea talk.
Exclusively.
What percent, if you took out, we have 13 years of podcasting. If you took out diarrhea, jizz, vomit.
God, we're already down to 1 year.
Diarrhea, jizz, and vomit. Those are our new nicknames in our Battletoads remake. That's a good joke.
That is.
That was quick. It was quick. But you also, it's a pretty specific audience.
Yes, it is.
That joke. With this episode of the Chuck and Brad Podcast, we close our doors.
Yeah.
We close the doors on the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
We lock them. We set the building alight.
Yeah. But you know what? I put a black box in there. So we're going to find out what's in there in a long time.
Wow.
There's a recording of a secret episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting because usually in a situation like this, like let's say we were really ending the podcast, okay?
Right.
We both get separate terminal illnesses.
Yeah. Oh, God. Give me mine immediately.
And
I hope that my terminal is one station away.
Here's what's weird. The doctors, wait, by the way, they're super different.
Okay.
I can't walk. You can't use your arms.
Oh, no.
Yep. But our doctor's so strange. They gave us the same exact day as the day when they were going to say we're going to pass away. Okay. So it's tomorrow.
It just feels like you could staple yourself to me. I could walk around and you could then pick things up. Yeah.
Even if that was happening, you know, I would like to do the thing. Let's count how many episodes we had, like
all
the best
stats.
Of this, all the stats, who were the most guests, the best moments, all the stuff. And I'm not feeling that kind of pull towards that. I'm not feeling the proclivity. You know why? Because I feel like all the best of our stuff is just continuing in a different form.
I agree. I'm super excited for the next steps. And you know, while this is a close to Chuck and Brad, it's not the end. It's, you know, I have not been selected for a mission to the moon that will go fatally awry.
You know what I kind of think of it as? Here's interesting. This is interesting. How about this? You ready for this?
Okay.
Chuck and Brad, the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
Yes.
Year one. We're in kindergarten. This is weird.
All right.
Oh, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Year one, we were in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Year two?
Uh-huh.
First grade.
Oh my gosh, where's it going to go from here?
All the way to eighth grade. This is our senior, like, you know, this is the final day of senior year of the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
Yeah.
And we're going off to college together with Ray, and he's rooming with us.
How come you had two dates to the prom and I didn't have any?
One of them is being real difficult right now. She's going to get a real spank next week. But the Chuck and Brad Podcast is closing its doors to open the doors for the new podcast, Fun Bearable, where Brad and I will continue. And Ray Harrington is joining the group, and we're going to be a three-piece. I just really feel like, you know, this was a decision, and we talked about this a little bit last week.
Yeah.
But since this is kind of going to be the last episode that we post of just the Chuck and Brad Podcast, pretty much, I figure we kind of get deep, more deeply into it. And we also, the truth is, we have like a whole email inbox full of letters and emails that I want to get to.
Yes.
So that's one of the reasons we want to talk about this more. But I did want to say, like, I want everyone to know that we talked about this with Ray for like weeks and weeks and weeks before we came to a conclusion. And I think I want to say, because people have been like messaging me on Instagram. By the way, the outpouring of care for this podcast in the past, like since we've announced this, has been pretty astounding.
I am overwhelmed.
Yeah, me too. And people have questions. I want to answer some directly. I think all the segments that you like from the podcast, which include Pitch Doctors, Franchise Flashback, all that kind of stuff, not only are those coming over, but they're almost like the reason we decided to repackage so that we could do more special stuff like that and focus on things like that in a bigger way and a way with more emphasis and funnier ideas. All that stuff is coming over, and I think we're going to be able to execute those ideas in a bigger way. And you know, I want to talk about the podcast openly. I think it has gotten tough after 13 years of podcasting, almost 600 episodes in. It has gotten tough to make stuff get bigger. It has gotten really tough to make it feel like, let's do a bigger thing. Let's reach out to the next thing. And it really feels to me like starting over from episode one, we can start in a bigger place and we can still feel like we're on the upswing and we can make it bigger. Do you know what I mean by that?
I do. I'm excited to have Ray with us full time.
Yeah.
And I like the energy when it's the three of us, and I'm excited to just get new opportunities.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that, you know, the idea of the Chuck and Brad podcast ran its course, but I think both of us gained a lot from it and both of us gave a lot to it.
Yeah.
And you know, I said mournful at the start, but really, you know, it's a natural transition. I was like this when I was going off to college, you know.
Right.
100 years ago.
Yeah.
I was like this when I moved to Arkansas. I was like this when I moved to New England.
Yeah.
And so it just feels like a big step. And of course I'm frightened. But at least this time it is not me moving across the country by myself.
Yes.
Twice. And I don't know. It's just mixed emotions right now.
It's interesting because I think, you know, it's funny. Like, I think we could, you and I could easily do the Chuck and Brad podcast until the day we drop dead.
Again, the same day.
Yeah, as long as it's the same day. Promise us. And the doctor's like, I can't. Yeah, I can't. I'll lose my license if I promise you that.
We're holding out our pinkies. Come on,
triple pink. No, I think that we could do the podcast until the day we die because we have fun doing it. We have fun connecting with each other in this way. It's not super common for two adult friends to have to sit down and talk things out in this way. So I think we do get an excuse to be more thoughtful than people often are.
Right.
Which is great. And yes. I think we've reached a lot of people, and there's a lot of people that have enjoyed what we do and kind of are in our corner now because of all that time spent together. But it is a thing now, and I kind of wanted to acknowledge this because this is a weird aspect of this. It is a thing now where I worked in this weird field where, like, you know, I wanted to do video projects and alternative comedy projects and film projects, whatever. And that started with the Senior Discount videos for my band in 2003 or four. And then that eventually became the Tell 'Em Steve Dave videos with the Tell 'Em Steve Dave guys around 2016. And eventually the Tuesdays with Stories guys, Kevin Smith, Mike Birbiglia, you know. And the world really changed,
right?
In terms of how the world combined podcasting and filmmaking, and the way that social media changed. And I think a huge part of this is, I think, walking into 2022 right now, with all the people that I work with and my background, with a podcast that is audio only, 13 years old, 580 episodes in, versus taking the same people, the same two people that are part of the podcast, adding another guy who we really gel with and really love and really bring so much comedy to the table. and starting over at episode one, going full video and really saying, hey, this is a new thing. This is a thing that's going to start with this, with all these connections that we have now. It's just such a smarter way to handle this aspect of our creativity. And I think it has the potential to be something much bigger.
Right.
And I think that the projects associated with this have the potential to be bigger projects and have more behind them. And also, one of the things that's been interesting about this is, like, over the past couple of years, I've kind of had to develop a production company with my buddy Stephen Griss, who's an editor of mine, my buddy Kyle Balagarin, who edits and does a ton of technical work for me as well and helps out, and Fabian, who does a lot of all my social media clips. Now having that as, oh, can we transition to trying to get some money coming into the podcast so we can have these guys help us, is another part of being able to make bigger projects. So it's almost like, I guess the way to think about it is, like, we were working in this little mom and pop store, and then I started working with all these other much more successful big stores.
Walmart.
Yeah. But like these other bigger, these bigger productions. And because of that, I had to take on all these people to help that.
Right.
And now it's like, well, maybe we can make something that's maybe not as big, but a bigger thing than what we have by starting over and by accepting a new level of professionalism, a level of production, while bringing over everything we thought was the best of what we originally built, which is Pitch Doctors and all that different stuff. And just the voices that we have and the voice that Ray has. And I really think there's going to be a loss of zero from the Chuck and Brad podcast going over to Funbearable. I think you're not, if you, whatever you like about the Chuck and Brad podcast, I think it's going to come over. I think it's going to be packaged in a better way. And I think it's going to be even bigger than what we could do with the Chuck and Brad podcast.
Right.
And I'm really excited for it. And it's hard because I've gotten mostly messages of positivity, mostly messages of hope of the future, but some people are worried.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I love the podcast. It breaks my heart. I can't believe this. And I really hope those people will stick around and see what we bring to the table, because I think they're going to be surprised at how delighted they are.
Right.
So right now it's 8:46 p.m. On the 16th of August, and we are recording this episode, and I just put out this social media post that's like, hey, if you want to write into the podcast, do it now, or forever hold your beats. We have some, you know, some emails going back in the past, like, month, let's say, so we're going to get through all the emails we get by the end of the episode. All right, let's go for the first email. This is from our buddy Esteban, right?
Yep.
All right, go for it. You read it.
It's called When Chuck and Brad First Met.
Yes.
Hi, guys. I apologize for always sending lengthy emails. Feel free to skim through any of it for entertainment purposes. Have either of you talked about when Chuck and Brad first met? I think that should be its own episode. I know you guys have known each other for years, but was there an episode where you explained how it happened? If so, tell me the episode and I'll look it up. Otherwise, please tell us the origin story when Chuck and Brad first met, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do you guys remember about each other? First impressions? Was it love at first sight? Did you hit it off at first? Or was there tension? I can imagine Chuck being excited about meeting a new person. I wonder if Brad was reserved about Chuck. Chuck was probably energetic or hyper. How long before the podcast would start? Brad, did you have reservations? Do you feel the relationship has changed? Do you feel each of you has changed? In what ways? Love you guys. Have a great week. Yours truly, Esteban.
Yes. All right. So let's see. Let's start this. We've talked about how we first met. Yes, we have. Basically, it was the bassist of my band at the time, Senior Discount. His name was Alan Souza. He was in an improv group called the Bit Players in Newport, Rhode Island. And Brad was part of the Bit Players.
Yes.
Went to go see a Bit Players show. I think Souza had already brought up the fact that he thought you were super funny and thought maybe you could be in the Senior Discount comedy videos that we did. And then I saw you and I was like, oh yeah, that guy's super funny. And I was like, what a great balance to our obscene, rebellious personas. And so right away, I don't even remember, how did we talk to you about it? Do you remember that?
I think Souza brought it up because he was going to film with you guys.
Yes.
And I didn't understand it. And then he showed me the videos when it was done. But really, it was you know, casual. I would see you in group settings for a while. And then in the summer of 2008, there was the sketch show.
Souza's Comedy Bonanza.
Yeah. And so we hosted that at the theater. And Chuck and I and Souza and two other folks worked on it, wrote it, acted in it, sold tickets for it, everything. And so that was, I remember rehearsing with you.
Yes.
And you guys were going to run across the street to Dunkin' Donuts, and it was, let me get you a culotta, which I, of course, had never had before.
Yep.
And that was your generous spirit of, like, forcing me to drink a strawberry and vanilla culotta. And it was, like, 1 a.m. You know, we were rehearsing late into the night. And then after that, it was your extremely gradual graduation party. We went to see Alkaline Trio. And so that was kind of the summer of 2008. And then we would just email each other, just super long emails about our lives. And, you know, I was, you know, we've talked about the start of the podcast before. I was right. doing a blog, and Chuck was working on, you know, a blog.
I had a blog too.
Yeah, Chuck Staton's Trash Heap.
Yeah.
And late in 2008, it was like, hey, you know, why don't we do a podcast? Then we don't have to do the blogs. And
right.
it will bring people to this, like, we can inform people about Senior Discount. We can keep people updated on improv. We can kind of keep people in the loop of our creative lives. And, you know, we talked about it, and, you know, you and the band had all the equipment to do it. We used a big mixing board.
Yeah.
XLRs, mics. We got somebody to mix it for us.
Yeah.
And recorded our first episode. And, you know, it was one of those things where Chuck researched how to put it up. And
oh my God.
None of that stuff is current anymore, which is like, we are using, basically we are using a hand cranked Victrola.
What we do is we have this old well in the back.
Yeah.
And whenever we record to a cassette tape.
Yes.
Brad pulls all the tape out.
Yep.
Right. We throw it in the bucket. Yep. We lower it in the well. We hear Satan laugh. And then it goes to people's podcast feeds.
That's correct.
I love the idea of you laughing with Satan.
Yeah. It's
especially that little baby laugh.
So yeah, that's kind of how we met and how the podcast first started. I'd say probably 6 months or ish. After we like really became friends and started hanging out,
yeah,
was the start of the podcast.
Yes,
and you know we were pretty good those first couple years about it being every week. I'd say we did like between 40 and 50 a year, and then hit a lull.
Yeah,
and then got back into it in what 2012, 2013.
Yeah,
and have made it a point to try and do average one a week since then.
Yeah,
and it's been a lot of fun. I you know obviously we've changed, our relationship has changed. I think the way I view media, and I don't know if you came in like this, the way I view media or at least discuss media has changed, because at some point I was definitely a that movie sucked kind of guy.
Yeah,
without really trying to understand what about it didn't work for me. So now you know I'd be less likely to say that movie sucked,
right?
It really sucked. Right. But be able to say I didn't like it. It wasn't for me. I thought it was well acted, but not right. well written, and you know,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
trying not to outright dismiss forms of media. So that's just one way in which I've changed.
Yeah,
because of the podcast specifically. I mean, obviously, like my friendship with Chuck has changed me. In horrible and beyond recognizable ways.
<diarrhea. Yeah>. Brad.
Comments. Oh. And, but, you know, specifically the podcast, I think the way I view and consume media has changed significantly since we started. I can't speak for you on that matter.
No, for sure. I feel closer to that as well. I mean, it also comes from the idea that we've also done so much more since then.
Yes.
We've also shot so much more and written so much more and done so many more live shows and tried to do bigger podcast episodes and alternate things. So, you know, that probably is a big part of it too. But I do think that talking all the time has made us more thoughtful, especially about art.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we met, you know, kind of in a, we said, this is a funny relationship and we want to kind of showcase it. And that's, you know, what we did and what we continue to do.
Yeah.
Let's see. anything else? Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Describe me a picture. I want to know. What was the day of the year? What were you wearing? Was Chuck wearing sandals? You guys enjoying living your own at the time? Was it going on each of you time? I think it's funny too. When I'm 38 now, we started the podcast when I was 24.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
The idea of 24 to 38
yep.
is quite a difference.
Yep. I haven't changed from 28 to 44. So
wait, how old are you?
I don't think I've changed from 8 to 44. I've always been a middle-aged man.
Brad was, it was 30 to 44.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is outrageous.
Yep.
It's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, it was really good. I feel like, you know, our biggest fight was obviously the Brad porn, we talked about many times.
Yep.
How long ago is that now?
It's Christmas 2011, right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow, we should have had a 10-year anniversary screening.
That's okay. We kind of did. You know
what? There's always a 15.
Ruined some different friendships for me, so.
That was an accident. Let's see. Anything else? It's a relationship. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think we covered everything that Esteban said.
Nice.
By the way, if there's one person coming over to Fun Bearable, it's Esteban.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we got an email from B. Fixler, Blake. Is the old email? Did we answer that old one?
Yes.
Got to be. Okay. Yeah. All right. So here's the new email from Blake. Hey, Chuck and Brad, what are your feelings on Westerns as a genre? I found myself enjoying spaghetti Westerns as of late, but never really got the appeal of older John Wayne era Westerns or more modern ones. It's a genre rife with cool, badass moments as well as tragedy. I still get emotional at moments in Red Dead 1 and 2. Do either of you like them or have recommendations? I'll say this. This is a way I feel, and I don't know if we've really talked about this, because I want to know how you feel about this.
Okay.
There's a certain amount of like genre stuff that I haven't connected to.
Okay.
One of them is big space stuff.
I thought you were just going to say big.
So I'm not like,
that's not a genre, Chuck. That's just a movie.
Not Guardians, because Guardians is so fun and flashy and bright and crazy, but like Gravity.
Yep.
Big space stuff, sword and sandal stuff like 300 or Gladiator, and Western stuff. That was always things that just didn't attract me. And military stuff doesn't attract me in terms of movie and TV shows. However, I'll say Red Dead Redemption 1 really changed that for me. I love Back to the Future 3. I love Rango. And it's weird because I'm like, are all these kind of like commentaries on Westerns, or are they actual Westerns?
Yeah.
But I mean, what about Django Unchained?
Right.
How about Hateful Eight?
Right.
I like those. So anyway, I feel like that really opened me up to Westerns, but my turn off to space stuff, Gladiator, blah, 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 it feels like it's me being dumb and I want to get over those things.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They feel stupid. It's like, if I'm like, yeah, I like mob stuff, but I don't like military stuff.
Yeah.
It's just me being dumb. I don't know where it comes from. And everyone is more attracted to the media that feels like home to them,
right,
or feels more comfortable to them. But it's hard for me to get into that stuff. It's hard for me to get into a lot of period stuff. I had some jokes, but I'm going to...
Thank you.
I won't say them.
My feelings on Westerns, I enjoy them, but I enjoy...
One time there was a girl that pressured me into period stuff.
There we go. I enjoy the big one, you know, Tombstone. I've watched The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. I watched The Magnificent Seven, but I watched The Magnificent Seven because the Stephen King Dark Tower book, Wolves of the Chiya, specifically references it.
Right.
I watched The Magnificent Seven remake for reasons I don't remember. I liked 310 to Yuma. Here's a Western that Ray reminded me of when he and I discussed this on the train.
Yeah.
Hell or High Water.
Oh, the best.
Hell or High Water is awesome. A modern Western.
That's true. That's true. It's excellent.
It's good stuff. So I would like, in as much as I have a recommendation, that would be my recommendation for kind of a modern Western.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, I associate like Westerns with the John Wayne era where you never really see the violence, and kind of all the stories seem the same, but that's because like, that's just what my dad watched.
Yeah.
It was like old Westerns. So that's kind of where I'm at as far as Westerns as a genre. Certainly open to more experiences. I'm sure there are great films that I'm overlooking, but I just don't know them.
Yeah, no, so. For sure. No, I'm open to them, and I would like to go watch some of the biggest ones. I mean, one of the things I'd really like to do, this is a good transition.
Okay, good.
Is go back and watch a lot of classic movies that I kind of missed out on. And a lot of the Western stuff is on my list.
Right.
I really like to kind of change my direction in terms of just viewing new media
and
go for it.
So you'd say you'd like to get cultured?
Get cultured, you swine.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you don't think Get Cultured, You Swine is coming over, then you are the swine, my friend.
Wow.
And you need to get cultured. I got a package this week.
Okay, congratulations.
It's from a guy named Robbie.
Okay.
Here's what it says. This is a physical package I got mailed to my house.
Okay.
And it says, Chuck, I heard you mention a few films that you had never seen. Some of them are amongst all my all-time favorites. I used to have a massive movie collection, over 7,000 titles.
Wow!
And I made videos about the hobby, but I had to stop when I had my second child.
Okay, congratulations.
I'm passing this on to you. I hope you'll enjoy it as much as I did. It is an all-time great and one of the coolest Blu-ray releases I've seen. Oh yeah, check me out on YouTube. Just search for my name, Robbie Webster.
Wow, and the box is filled with 7,000 Blu-rays.
You know what? It's 7,000 SD cards.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's so small.
Yes.
All of my old movie videos are still there, but I'm going to start making new content about my eBay business. You've definitely inspired me to start creating again. Good luck to you on all of your endeavors, and God bless. Sincerely, Robbie.
Okay.
And he sent me this awesome, super thick collector's edition of Bridge on the River Kwai.
Oh,
isn't that so nice?
That's great.
So nice. Robbie Webster, you rule, bud. Isn't that?
Yeah, that really is.
I had a little tear in my eye when I came home from New York and I saw that on my doorstop.
Super nice.
Very, very nice. Love you, buddy. Can't wait to watch it. You know, Brad and I, when Brad was getting over his spine thing, we watched Escape from New York.
Yep.
And Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes.
And Alamo Drafthouse, the awesome movie theater chain, just opened a new Alamo Drafthouse near me in Staten Island. And I'm hoping to see They Live this summer there because I've never seen They Live. And they're doing The Summer of Darkness, all John Carpenter films. So I'm hoping to get into those. Love to watch Bridge on the River Kwai. Love to watch some Westerns.
There you go.
Restrooms.
Love to watch some restrooms.
Yeah, so thank you, Blake. Thank you, Robbie. I love you, buddies. Hell yeah. From Corey, our buddy in real life.
Yes.
We're buddies in real life with everybody. I'm just saying we know him in real life.
Right.
He writes, Brad's improv, becoming an artist. It's a subject line. First question is for Brad. Brad, can you give us some insight on how you became involved with improv? What's the structure of your shows and how often do you perform? Along with the 3D printing, I'm sitting on about 3 pages of potential zingers that I haven't shared with anybody. It's been a good outlet for me as I've always been in a major funk this summer. Anyways, I'm struggling a lot to feel confident in the things I'm creating while becoming an artist. Just the fact that I put that in quotes shows where my self-esteem is at. Guys, where did you get the confidence to hone in on your talents, and how can I tap into that? Thanks. P.S. I was away the weekend of the show, but was overjoyed to see the amount of support you guys got. Will there be video? P.S.S. My fingers hurt from typing. Peace and love, Corey. Corey rules. He's the best guy ever.
He's great. Insight on how I became involved with improv and the structure of my shows, etc. When I was a young boy, I would watch the British version of Who's Line.
Was a young boy. Now keep talking. What were you going to say?
I would watch. Old Who's Line.
Old Who's Line.
Yeah, okay, we get it. On the TV.
On the TV.
And that made me...
And that made me... what is it? What's the word? Sad? No, happy.
Yeah. No, I'd watch Old Who's Line, and I liked improv. And then when I was in college, the Second City Touring Company came and did a show at Bradley University.
Yes.
And this would have been in like spring of 97, and I loved it. I was like, this is great. They, you know, and it's sketch and improv, and I was just transfixed by it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then I did nothing about it.
Of course.
The next year, the Second City Tour Co. came and did another show, and it was... I was like, oh, I want to talk to them about it. And, you know, like we went out to a bar afterwards. I was, of course, afraid because I was 19 and an RA and like, oh, if somebody sees me at a bar, it's going to be, and just like hung out with everybody. And they like, look, if you can't take classes at Second City, take them at Improv Olympic. Mm-hmm. And so I signed up for classes at Improv Olympic in the summer of summer of 1998. And, you know, bought and read the book Truth and Comedy, The Art of Improvisation.
Yep.
Took level one that summer and then was going to take level two, like as I was going back to school. But that drive from Peoria to Chicago was not one I was willing to make in 1998 because all my friends were at college, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I really only made it to like one of those classes. So I took level two the following summer of 1999. Mm-hmm. Then the summer of 2000, I was looking for a job. I had a back injury. I didn't start it up again until 2001.
Right.
And took levels 3, 4, 5A and 5B, did my 8-week performance, did not get put on a Herald team, a house team, took level 5 again, did not get put on a team again, and then quit for 4 years until I joined the Bit Players, which we've already alluded to. So that was kind of how I got involved with improv. I was very bad at it. I wanted desperately to be liked, and I had no confidence, which did not make for a great performance. And, you know, a lot of it was just feeling uneasy. Like, these are all big city folks who, like, know how to take taxis. Yeah. And I'm a suburban boy who's like,
what the hell?
Yeah, that was how I was. And so,
I don't want to take a taxi.
And so, you know, everyone was really cool. I'm still friends with some of the people. Shout out to Matt, who's probably listening to this episode.
Nice.
So I just continued doing improv. Because I had bragged about it in my interviews when I was interviewing for jobs, and they're like, what do you do for fun? And I said improv comedy, and then I got called out on it and was told to audition and blah, blah, blah. So, structure my shows now, depends where I'm performing, but generally speaking, we get one suggestion and we do 25 to 45 minutes of scene work about it. One of the things I like about improv is that, you know, the rules are pretty loose. And so I'm a fan of breaking the fourth wall, which I do in almost every show. I think my last show I didn't, which is the first one in the last 100 shows I haven't. I've done short form shows like Whose Line, where you get new suggestions fairly often and do about an hour of that in different games, whether you're singing or, you know, say a different line or something like that. I probably perform 3 to 4 times a month, depending on the month, depending on the theater, depending on my availability. And one of our forms that we're just finishing up with at Kismet Improv is called the Armando. And if you want to see an example of that, you can look up ASCAT, A-S-S, there's extra S's. And it was done at the Upright Citizens Brigade. It's on the DVD. Amy Poehler's in it. Matt Walsh, Matt Besser, Ian Robert, like all the big four, and many other people that you would recognize. So that basically, you know, somebody comes out, they tell a story, you do scenes that are tangentially related to the story, but like funny versions of them. And then they tell another story and you do more scenes. And so that's one of them. There's infinite ways to perform improv and really picking it back up in 2007 and doing, honestly, over 500 shows since then, because I had just done 8 while in Chicago, has been pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's my improv structure shows and how often I perform.
Yeah. So how do we get the confidence to hone in our talents? And how can you tap into that?
Well, you fail. You just fail over and over again. And then you fail less. And then you fail less. And then before you realize it, you're not failing.
Sure. That's a good way to look at it. I say, I started my creative bullshit when I was so young. I think it was 1998, and I was at St. Philomena's School in Portsmouth, and my buddy had a dad who had a limousine service, and some asshole left his video camera in the back. So we took that video camera, and we put it on his desk, and we'd put on a song like Mo Money, Mo Problems, and we would just dance
good
to the video camera, and we'd pretend. We'd wear our funny clothes, and we'd dance, and we'd laugh, and we'd hit each other in the balls and slap each other and be stupid, right?
Yes.
And that was where I started my video stuff.
So you've taken half a step since then.
Yeah. So then I started making my own dumb little sketches, like The Day Everybody Fought, The Day Everybody Fought Part 2, The Night Everybody Fought, you know, everything like that.
Yes.
And just made dumb sketches in my backyard with my cousin Christian and John and my brother Denny and all these people. And I started doing backyard wrestling, which was more comedy than anything else,
right,
with Christian, Lou, my buddy, and Jordan. And we just had fun. And we just kind of started. It really felt like we were doing stuff to make ourselves laugh. And I read a lot about people saying, like, really, you should do creative stuff that you think is good.
Yeah.
And that's maybe the way to go, because I did that. And then even when I wanted to start a band, I was like, I want to start a band, but playing guitar is too hard. So I didn't do it.
Right.
And then eventually I was like, oh, I really want to start a band, though. And so I just tried to learn how to play guitar, and I just did what I could do, and I let things roll forward. And I think when you just do the creative stuff, especially when you have no expectation.
Right. That helps. That helps tremendously.
Well, I think what happens is, you do, you know, let's say every creative thing you do has all these different elements to it. You do one of those elements bad, and you say, oh, I did that bad. How do you do it good? Oh, yeah. I can do that part good. And then every time you do it, if you get 1% better, then you do things for 1,000 years, 1,000 times. And all of a sudden you're better than you used to be. And so I think I kept doing that. And eventually I was like, I can kind of do a thing. And that's when I would reach out to like the next level, which was Tell Them Steve Dave and Tuesdays with Stories and Kevin and all these people. And I think you just got to do it. You got to forget whether or not you think you're ready to do it. And you just got to go do it. Whatever thing you like, just do it and be ready to be bad and lower your expectations for yourself and realize that, you know, you're winning or you're learning.
Right.
That's what CM Punk said when he got the shit kicked out of him in that UFC fight.
I think he said it before he got it kicked out of him.
Well, I think after he got the shit kicked out of him, he could no longer speak.
Yes.
So that's what you're
referring to. I would also, you know, work hard, be kind.
Work hard, be kind. Yeah, because you never know. Me and Brad, we've burned so many bridges, but you know what? Now they're coming up.
Both figuratively and literally. People can't get off the island.
Yes.
Of Zombie Zoo.
Yeah. Of Zombie Zoo. All right. Next email from Chad Bergen. Say it ain't so. Hey, guys. TESD transplant here who came out of curiosity and stayed for the overall vibe and intimacy between you two. I think I added in overall. Stayed for the vibe and intimacy between you two. I'm also a Chicagoland native in the same age range. I really love the podcast. Unlike most of the others I listen to, it feels like I can really connect with this one. Ray is cool and all, but I really haven't enjoyed the episodes featuring him. They're funny for sure, but the dynamic changes too much. To me, they've always felt like Chuck and Ray bantering mixed with Ray's constant riffing on and interrupting you guys. I guess that's the point. I'll absolutely give Fun Bearable a go, but I'm not particularly stoked. Either way, I support you both and wish you the best of luck. Thanks for everything. You guys rule. From Chad, P.S. Aurelios. For the win. I always thought FTW meant fuck the world.
Yeah, because of Taz and ECW.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So here's what I'm going to say about little tiny Ray Harrington. I think, and this comes straight from the horse's mouth, and I'm not commenting on how long his face is. I think when Ray's on as a guest, you know, you're putting him in a position where it's like, hey, you're a guest. And you're kind of coming into a place where you don't get to run the show.
Right.
And I think now with you and I and Ray all together, I think he probably doesn't feel like he has to be. This is what I think. He's not going to feel so much like he has to be on every second.
Right.
So if we do want to slow down and kind of acknowledge some stuff or get more deeply into something, I think that that's going to be something that comes naturally to the podcast. And to be honest, in the first couple we recorded, because we did record a couple of Fun Bearable episodes, we did get into some career stuff. We got into some of your religious stuff.
Yep.
We got into that stuff, and it was a little bit closer to what we do here.
I thought, spoiler alert, I think the first couple episodes feature a good balance.
Yeah, me too.
I'm aware of what this email talked about, but I think that giving it a go. Thank you for saying that. Even if you're not psyched, thank you for giving it a chance.
Totally.
I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised by the dynamic.
Yes.
And the way the three of us are balanced. At least in the beginning. Who knows? Could all change tomorrow? I have no idea.
Right.
But what we have, what we've put down on wax that we're dropping into the well. so far, I'm really pleased with it.
Yeah. I think, it is now a good time to do the secret thing.
Yeah, let's do a secret thing.
All right, here's what we talked about before the podcast. This is my idea. Anyone who's listening this far in, because we're almost 40 minutes in.
Wow.
You're a real listener. You're not a fair weather Chuck and Brad fan who listens every week for the first 35 minutes and then shuts us off. You pieces of shit.
Luparella.
Luparella. Our old buddy, you're here for the real deal. So we want to pull back the curtain a little bit. Keep it to yourself. Don't tweet. Don't comment. But we want to give you a little preview of what's going to come on Fun Bearable. We've already done a bunch of solo episodes getting ready for Fun Bearable. And we've done some fun stuff in terms of bringing in guests to the new show.
Yes.
Including, you know, our buddy Joe List is going to appear in the first couple episodes. Our buddies Walt Flanagan, and Get Him Steve Dave are going to appear in some episodes.
Yep.
One of our new buddies from Are You Garbage, Kevin Ryan, is going to appear on an episode. some other comics like Renan Hirschberg, Andrew Chavone, all those people are going to be featured in the first grouping of episodes of Fun Bearable, along with many solo episodes of just the three guys, me, yes, Brad, and Ray. And on top of that, not only are you going to get the regular episodes with us having fun and talking about stuff, you're going to get those guest episodes. And if anyone out there heard our recent episode where we talked about the Chuck and Brad Fantasy Patreon, you're going to get a little dip into some of those ideas too. Yeah. Because we did episode one of Dude Let's Beat within Fun Bearable.
Right.
Where we sit down with some old retro video games, arcade beat 'em ups, and we played through them and did a whole video podcast about it. We have a fun retro board game episode with some Tell 'em Steve Dave favorites that's coming down the pike really soon as well. And everything we've done so far, everything has been like full video. Very much inspired by the stuff that I've been able to do for the Tell 'em Steve Dave Patreon and obviously the Tuesdays stuff and all the different things. Really diverse ideas, and I think really feeling like a bigger project than what we've done with the Chuck and Brad podcast.
Yeah.
So I wanted to let you guys know, don't tweet anything, don't say anything yet, because we're going to try to do a big announcement soon,
right,
with a video that kind of reveals some of these guests that are going to be in the first handful of episodes. But for the listeners of the Chuck and Brad podcast who really care and who are going to be listening to this, we do want to give you this information to make you feel really like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
And on top of that, very cool, we got a national sponsor before we ever even recorded the first episode.
Pretty amazing.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Blue Chew, and we're not joking, Blue Chew is going to be sponsoring the first 10 episodes of Fun Bearable.
Yeah.
And they gave us a decent chunk of money, which we used to get Brad and Ray out to New York to record with all these guests and do these great things and book studio time in New York and get people that are helping us to do it. Our buddy Brian Rupert from the Tell 'em Steve Dave gang helps us film a lot of this stuff.
Yep.
Our buddy Kyle Balagarin, who works for me and helps me in so many ways, is helping us put this together too. We got a professional ad salesperson that works with Tuesdays that's helping us. She's wonderful. Her name is Fanny. And I really, really strongly believe that the Chuck and Brad podcast is like a baseline of like what our voices is and has a lot of creativity and a lot of organic fun in there. But with Fun Bearable, I really think we're going to be able to make bigger projects and take it to the next level. And I don't think we'd be able to just all of a sudden make such a left turn continuing the Chuck and Brad podcast.
Right.
It had to be a new project. It had to be a new level of professionalism. It had to be a new thing. And bringing Ray on really legitimizes us in the world of comedy and stand-up. Yeah. Like, obviously, Brad does a lot of improv stuff. I do a lot of filmmaking stuff, and we do a lot of odd two-man comedy stuff, two-man comedy projects together. But Ray is just a legitimate stand-up comic with a credit on Conan and touring around the country and internationally. And that gives us a different way in the door with a lot of people and worlds. And the idea of starting over and kind of having these relationships and not going to, let's say, a sponsor and saying, hey, we're 580 episodes in and 13 years in.
Yeah.
It's a lot more attractive to say, hey, this guy who works all these podcasts, me, and all and these other two guys that are super funny and they do their own comedy stuff, they're coming together to make this. It really makes that a more attractive thing, I think, for these new sponsors, which gives us some money that is not going into our pockets, but goes directly back into the podcast for us to make bigger projects.
Yes.
And for us to make a bigger splash with the stuff we're going to do.
Right.
And also to go back and answer Corey's question, will there be live footage from our most recent live show? Fuck yeah, because that's where we announced the new Fun Bearable podcast with a little fun thing that we came up with for Ray live on stage. That not only do I think the thing we came up with is great,
yeah,
but the footage of the crowd there was fucking killer.
Yeah.
Hoping to drop it on Monday. That's the plan if everything goes as planned. But yeah, we wanted to drop a little of this information. Again, keep it to yourself. If you want to write to us, chuckandbrad@gmail.com, and say like, I'm so psyched, that's amazing, I'm psyched for this, or you want to DM us, feel free to do that. Don't comment in public yet. Don't tweet about it yet.
Right.
But we're going to get a lot of great guests right away. And we really hope that people are going to be psyched and immediately see like, oh, I see why you needed to start over to bring it to this next level.
Yeah.
All right. From Matt, a new podcast is the subject line. Hey, Chuck and Brad, I'm a new listener to your pod and looking forward to the new project. Love the show, Matt. I love you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
I love stuff like that. And I'm always wondering, I see all these emails coming all the time. I'm from Illinois. I'm from here. I'm from here. How did you find out about the show, you pieces of shit? Let me know. Another email from Corey. Michelangelo is a party dude. Hey, Chuck and Brad, before arriving to the triple birthday pool party, which we did a couple weeks ago with our buddy Lou, I stuffed a life-size Michelangelo in a bag of Mousers in my passenger seat. So many people show up to the party that I had to park in the street and never got a chance to pull them out. I thought you guys would get a kick out of seeing me show up with a baby under one arm and a giant Ninja Turtle in the other, but I digress. Anyways, you guys have been a major part of my summer highlights. Between Shredder's Revenge, which Corey is one of the people that played through it with us, giant pool parties and lighting off fireworks with Jordan in the backyard, it's been a good one. Peace and love, Corey. I love you, Corey. It also says message to Chuck under it. But there's nothing there. It's a blank email.
Nothing.
I wonder what it is. I wonder what was supposed to be attached there.
Mm.
Corey, let me know and also reach out because I have a present for you, buddy, that I got
to
give you.
All right. I was checking to make sure it wasn't like invisible ink. We should print it out and see if he wrote it in invisible ink.
I would love if you had to print out emails with invisible ink to see if it would work.
I'm dropping lemon juice on it. I'm heating it up.
Yeah, you're taking the lighter under the paper. I love Corey. What a wonderful guy. What a wonderful addition. What a wonderful and positive addition to our group, right?
Yeah, it's been nice.
A lovely guy. It's so hard to find good new people. Ray's one of them. Corey's one of them. It's great. All right. From Deanna Novak. End of an era. Hey, Chuck and Brad, just listened to the announcement. I have to say I have mixed feelings. I'm sad about the end of an era, which I'm still fairly new at since I hopped over during the TESD Town crossovers, but I'm super excited for the future. I love the episodes with Ray, and the comedy is always gold when the three of you sit down together. I hope we still get maybe a once-a-month sit-down with old Chuck and Brad format. I myself was a podcaster with a friend for several years. The Chuck and Brad style reminded me of what we used to do. We ended the podcast after 913 episodes.
Wow!
Not all of which I was on, and I truly miss doing it. I'm 100% on board and we'll be following over as long as we get the franchise flashback that's been promised for ages, the Ernest movie. Come on, guys, make it happen. I live for Ray's Ernest impression, and I think these movies are ready to be mined for comedic gold. Can't wait for the new episodes. Peace, Deanna.
Wow. Let's make a commitment now.
Guaranteed.
Without consulting Ray, in 2023, we do the Ernest franchise
Absolutely.
Flashback.
Absolutely. I know Ray said yes to doing it on the Chuck and Brad show, so yeah. I'm sure he'll do it.
I just feel like, you know, our 2022 is pretty booked.
Yes.
And so let's 2023 Ernest franchise flashback.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, we'd love to do it. Let me know the name of your podcast too. 913 episodes is crazy.
Lot. That's a lot of episodes.
And we have talked about, just to be completely open, Ray said, you know, he's like, sometimes I might want to do one of my one-on-one interviews because he got to like interview a few people.
Right.
And we said, you know, there might be some Chuck and Brad things like our yearly look back that maybe Ray doesn't want to do.
Right.
And if he wants to do an episode of Ray Harrington Must content as a bonus on the Chuck, on the new Fun Bearable feed, he's going to do that. If we want to do a Chuck and Brad podcast episode on the Fun Bearable feed, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And we're going to have other ideas. Like I think the Dude Let's Beat that we did is probably going to be a bonus episode because it's going to be full video and it probably won't work as audio.
Right.
So far, all of our episodes are full video, but we're trying to make sure they also work as audio. But absolutely down with an Ernest franchise flashback. We need to see where this guy's been and how he got from place to place. Did I tell you my secret for the flashback thing?
No.
I want to figure out where he was in between each movie.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if I could dig it up.
I'm sure you could.
From the official writer.
Yeah, yeah. You've got some connections.
Yeah. All right. This is from Lars Thorvald, which, by the way, Lars Thorvald is from a movie. It's somebody. It's a character in something. It's like from like something weird, like Schindler's List or something like that. Okay. I swear to God. I swear to God. Who is it?
Rear Window.
There you go. It's the guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The antagonist.
All right. I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to read some of this. He wrote a subject line. I wanted to destroy something beautiful. Email. Note. I was in a pissy mood when I wrote this. Didn't finish and got out of the mood and abandoned writing. But in light of changes afoot, I decided to go ahead and send what I had unedited. Excuse my bitchiness. Longtime listener, first time emailer. I'm in a mood, and since all the emails you get are considerate, I decided someone needs to be a big fat jerk, and I decided it'll be me. So here are some rude questions for you. I don't expect you to answer some of them or maybe all of them. This is not a challenge. If I were in your shoes, I'd probably just ignore this or at least not use it on the show. I'm not writing this with the expectation that you will. Again, not a challenge. Here we go. It's a long one. You're closing in on episode 600, and there still hasn't been a 500. WTF. Here's the reason. The reason is, when we hit milestones like 300, 400, 500, for us, it just happens to fall in the wintertime around Rhode Island.
Yes.
And me having been doing like live shows with my band Senior Discount since 2004, we've had so many shows in the winter that we planned and planned and planned and practiced and did all this stuff that got snowed out.
Yep.
Or maybe they didn't get snowed out, but there was a crazy storm and we still showed up and no one went to the show.
Right, because of parking. And
yeah,
because there's a storm coming.
Right.
And they don't want to go anywhere.
That Brad and I didn't want to plan our big shows in the winter. So we'd say, like, let's say it was episode 300 and it was February. We'd be like, let's just do 299 and we'll just go right to 301. And then in the spring or the summer, we'll do episode 300 live. We did that for episode 300. We did that for episode 400.
Yes.
We planned on doing it for 500, but we just didn't.
Yeah.
We never did a live 500.
And part of that is, you know, that would have been around early 2020, and we would have had to bump it to mid-2020.
Which then would have got bumped again, and then again, and then again.
And it would be now.
Yeah, so we never got to do episode 500 live that we planned on. So this episode, where we close the door of the Chuck and Brad podcast, the official title is number 580. Episode 500. So here's your 500, Lars. Chuck, knowing what I know about Louis C.K., I don't think I would have been comfortable around him. I know it was about supporting Joe List, but Joe having thrown in with Louis in the first place would give me pause. After his pretty good as these things go public apology, his comeback material has been mean, lazy, and full of sorrow for himself. Someone who created one of the best shows of the new golden age of television has become a resentful shadow of his former self. Look up a little bit higher. It's like an Alvin the Chipmunk's voice. Yeah. Look up the leaked audio from a set he did in Long Island in late 2018. Pathetic. That was when I knew I didn't need to hear anything new from him. Here's what I'll say about leaking comics material before it's ready. When a stand-up comic doing like a show that's just in a room with 200 people or 300 people or whatever, that's them practicing. So it's the equivalent of my band Senior Discount getting together at our practice space and saying, let's work on this new song.
Right.
And we play some of the new song and the harmonies are bad. We play some of the new song and the pre-chorus isn't there yet. We play some of the new song, the chorus doesn't feel right. We're figuring it all out. Stand-up comics have to do that live in front of an audience.
Yep.
And then after they do that enough, they get to the point where they say, I've shaved this bit. I got rid of this. I changed the wording on this. I changed the order. I lost this bit. I added this bit. And eventually they come to a place where they say, this whole hour is tight and it's what I want to say. And it's what, you know, where I am and how I feel comfortable presenting this new material. And then they film it and then they put it out. And that's their release. So I think that going into a club of someone, any stand-up comic, Sarah Silverman, Mark Norman, Joe List, Mike Birbiglia, whoever, and saying, I'm going to tape this now and put it out, is really putting out a band in a practice space and saying, here's their new music. Yeah. It's the same exact thing. So I urge anyone that listens to any stand-up comedy that's from a leaked thing to completely disregard what that is. If you're interested in the writing of stand-up comedy or the development of bits, great. But to judge it as this is their new material, I think is the wrong thing to do. You know, we saw Norm Macdonald one time and he was drunk and the show was terrible, right?
Right.
That would be terrible to judge him on that specific one night.
Right.
That's why stand-up comics go up every single day, sometimes multiple times per night. So what you have to look at, I think, is the recorded material that they decide to put out. And I think if you watch the newest Louis C.K. special, you will laugh harder at that than any other special I've seen in the past couple of years. But this doesn't really go for him. This goes for any stand-up comic. This is why, you know, Aziz will have your phones locked up in those bags so you can't film. It's because when people put out material that is not fully formed, they get judged on their practice. Whatever you've done in practice, imagine if someone put that out there and said, this is what represents this person as an artist.
Right.
You would be upset. So that to me does not count. I really wish you wouldn't always close the show with Senior Discount songs. Use the song that dude wrote about Brad at least once in a while. That's a great idea.
Well, we only have one episode left, and I was going to use the song "And That's Goodbye" or something, the Afterlife.
Yes.
Know, an appropriate ending song.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
You know, I wish Senior Discount had 60 songs to cycle through as opposed to, like, I think we have like 15 that have been cut for that. I hear you. Ray Harrington seems like a smart, funny guy. I'm not a person who's interested in meeting famous or semi-famous people. You can count the number of those types of persons I'd like to meet on two hands and have fingers left over. But Ray seems like he'd be a cool guy to hang out with. That said, I'm not a huge fan of him being on the show. He interrupts too often with jokes. Whenever he's on, we get 20 to 80% less Brad.
Mm.
I know he's not trying to sideline Brad deliberately, but between Chuck and Ray, Brad usually gets shut out to some degree or another. We all know why Brad's why we listen in the first place. You know what I'd actually like? A separate podcast where the three of you talk seriously about things. When he guests, the times he takes things in a more thoughtful direction are often the best parts. I like his perspective on certain subjects. Lars, I love you. I appreciate your thoughts. We've talked about everything in terms of potential negatives and making sure that the show really represents three voices. And even the idea of balancing between being funny and being fast and quick and having more thoughtful discussions about things. And I really think if you come over to Fun Bearable, you're going to find that there's a great mix of that between all three of us. Brad's one of the smartest people I know. Ray's one of the smartest people I know. Me and Ray have a lot of deep talks, especially like late at night on the phone. I can tell you right now, last night on the phone at 2:30 a.m., I was telling him about how I was in like a desperate depression tailspin about how ugly I am.
Yeah.
I really was.
You called me at 10:51. I had been asleep for over an hour.
I was like, this guy, I was like, me calling Brad to talk about how ugly I am is like, you know. Boy.
There's no way this makes me feel good.
I might as well call the Elephant Man. He's going to be like, you think you got problems? Yeah. Does the Elephant Man talk like that?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
No.
I thought I was looking at him.
I mean, for the past 13 years, you piece of shit.
Yes.
No, but we had a big talk about the idea of feeling less than and feeling, you know... Well, me specifically feeling like I'm not a worthwhile person, and that Mark Norman didn't invite me to his bachelor party because I'm unattractive. I really said that.
All right. Well, it seems like that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, you know why?
Over the River Kwai.
Because Ari Shaffir was invited.
Terrible. Terrible.
I'll say this on the podcast because I think it's weird. And I don't know if this is going to come out. I don't know. Whatever. I'll put this in. It's our last episode. We're pulling back the curtain.
There's no curtain left.
Yeah, I know. It's the end of the podcast. There's like this shred of curtain.
Yeah.
We've shredded most of it.
We're taking bows in the spotlight and we're waiting for the curtains to close. No curtain left.
It's just the rings. Yep. They come out. I'm super hurt that Mark Norman didn't invite me to his bachelor party.
Yeah.
Super, super hurt. Last week, like Joe said to me, we were in the studio, the Tuesday studio, and Joe was like, "You're coming to the bachelor party, right?" And I was like, "I don't know, I didn't get invited." And the next day, Joe texted me and he was like, "I'm so sorry, Mark said it's full. You know, Bert Kreischer, you know, whatever
takes up two spaces." I don't know Bert Kreischer.
We're just burning bridges. I don't know
Bert Kreischer.
I know Ari Shaffir, but more like three. So I. Why did they do this on their last episode? They weren't like this before. It's
turned into a roast of everybody. Comics.
Yeah. Oh man, you know what? Someone really cutting, like Ricky Gervais. What if he did a roast of the world?
Oh,
that's a pretty good idea.
It's a very good idea.
That's funny. Anyway, I was really hurt. And I haven't really said anything to him about it. It's very uncomfortable. It's like he's my new, you know, whatever. And he texted me today and he wrote, "Thanks, Chuck." And I said, "For what?" And it just, he wrote back, everything with a period. Oh. Isn't that weird?
Well, it's nice.
I thought that weird. Isn't that strange?
Did Ari Shaffir text you?
I have no idea. I wanted to be like, is he?
Fuck you, Chuck. For what?
Everything. I wanted to be like, is Mark suicidal? Because if so, dibs on May. Holy shit.
That's why you're not going to the bachelor party. I can't call dibs.
Someone has to look after May. No, but it's just like, you know, it was very strange.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know. Knowing him, he's just being a kook. Maybe knowing him, he just like looked at my last text message,
yeah,
which is when the other day when you guys came to New York and we brought him his glasses at the stand.
Yep.
Maybe he just saw a message, but he liked my last message already. Right. So it's kind of strange. Anyway, why did we get into this?
You brought it up. You're pulling back the curtain.
No, it must have been a reason. Anyway, back to the emails.
Yes. Zane Desjardins, yes, wrote, "Hey, Chuck and Brad, it's been a while since my last email, and I hope everything is going well with both of you today." It's not. "This is going to be quite a long email. I hope you enjoy it. I just got to say I am super excited about the future of the podcast with Ray Harrington. I've been listening every week for almost 3 years now, and I've listened to so much of your back catalog. I can't wait for everything you guys have coming. I know it's going to be awesome." It is. "I hope you guys are still going to leave the Chuck and Brad podcast episodes up on all the podcast platforms, mm-hmm, because I love re-listening to a lot of your episodes. Also, if merch ever does come, I hope you still decide to sell some just Chuck and Brad stuff, because I would love some Chuck and Brad stickers of your current podcast logo."
Yes.
"Anyway, I have a couple questions that I think you might enjoy. For Brad, I was wondering if you were a big Stephen King fan at all. I've only ever read The Long Walk, but it quickly became one of my favorite books I've ever read when I finished it. I'm always trying to read more books every year, but I'm doing pretty bad this year. My goal was 15 and I'm only at 3. I'm always looking for recommendations. I really love sci-fi books like Neuromancer by William Gibson. I would love to hear some suggestions from you, Brad. My next question is about one of my favorite recent things about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was wondering if either of you had read the comic that had come out last year and part of this year, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Last Ronin. It was a 5-part comic series that started in October of 2020, but didn't finish until April of this year due to a lot of delays. The comic is set in the future where 3 of the turtles and Splinter have been killed, and there is only 1 surviving turtle. I won't spoil who the one turtle is if you haven't read it, but you do find out right in issue 1. It's a much more mature Turtles comic, and there's a prequel series, TMNT, The Last Ronin, The Lost Years, coming in November, and apparently more comics will be coming in this new Turtles Ronin-verse.
Yes!
This was something Eastman and Laird had apparently been wanting to do since the 90s, and I was a massive fan of the concept. Have either of you read it? And if so, what do you think? And if you hadn't, I highly recommend it. I believe a paperback is now out or coming out soon. I hope the both of you are having a wonderful day. And again, I'm so excited for everything coming in the near future. Chubby for life. P.S. As a Canadian, I personally think Canuck is fine as long as we get to call you Yanks."
Fair. First of all, let's say this. Zane, we love you. You're a wonderful supporter.
Oh, yeah.
Write into chuckandbrad@gmail.com with your address. I'm going to send you a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
I love you. And this Turtles thing is interesting.
It really is.
Yeah, go for it.
We had the triple birthday party, Chuck, yes, Brad, our friend Lou Perella.
Yeah.
And, did presents, and Chuck said, "You guys have to open this gift at the same time."
Yes.
Lou and I opened it, and it was the hardback version of TMNT, The Last Ronin.
Yes.
And with the idea that we could all read it together.
Yes. And the reason I did that was because I think I read the first issue when it was first coming out, and I was like, this is so good.
Yeah.
And then I didn't read any more of it, and then I saw that it was announced to come out on hardcover, and I guess, and I don't really know the background of this, but I guess it was like, this is coming out soon, and then it just didn't come out. And I was like, this is coming out soon, and for a long time, people were like annoyed, and finally, it was like, official release date, July 5th, and I was like, me and Alyssa's anniversary, my ex-girlfriend my last ex-girlfriend. But I was like, oh, that's perfect for the July birthdays and August birthdays. And so right away, I just went on Amazon and I ordered 3 copies for myself, yep, Brad, and Lou. And I was like, this isn't, you know, because I don't want to get people gifts that I'm like, I like this, so you better like it.
Yeah.
It won so many awards or whatever, or it had so many like high reviews that were like 4.8 out of 5 and all these different things. And I was reading about the overall story and I was like, Brad and Lou will like this in the same way we all liked Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
So yeah, weird coincidence.
I'm 80% of the way through as of tonight.
What do you think?
I read issue 4. Oh, I love it.
It's great.
I love it.
Oh man, I can't wait to get back into it. I got to get back into it.
For me, Stephen King. Yes,
yes.
Big Stephen King fan. I've read, I think everything he's written, everything he's published.
Yes.
And the Dark Tower books, I mentioned them earlier, love them. And think that they're so bizarre. And, but, you know, I know it's intimidating for something like The Stand, where it's 1,300 pages, or It, where it's like 1,305 pages. But I thought both of those were great and like easy to read.
Yeah.
But you know, a fantasy book that Stephen King wrote, his Eyes of the Dragon. If you're looking for the, I last reread The Long Walk, which is basically a competition where 50, you know, young men set out and they have to walk. And if they drop below 4 miles an hour three times and a certain thing, they're killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner gets whatever his heart desires. And, you know, it's published under Richard Bachman.
Yep.
The pen name, because Stephen King was putting out so much stuff in the late 70s and early 80s that they're like, we have to put a fake name with this. And so kind of the more ambiguous or dismal endings come out as Richard Bachman. And the happier endings came out of Stephen King.
But, wow.
Yeah, big, huge, huge fan of Stephen King. And, you know, he's got some fiction that's easier to get into. It's shorter. It's not intimidating like that. But yeah, happy to recommend that. And then as far as science fiction stuff, Brandon Sanderson is probably more fantasy. Brent Weeks is probably more fantasy. I enjoyed, what is her name? Megan O'Keefe has a series going on, a science fiction series.
Mm-hmm.
I just read, is it Tranquility? But something by Emily St. John Mandel. I'm currently reading a horror thriller called Hyde. It's Kirsten something is the name of the author. And it is a corker through the first 50% of the book.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I read Orson Scott Card. I'd say read Ender's Game as a nice science fiction-y starter, you know, kind of a classic. Neuromancer is a cyberpunk book, and I don't have a ton of experience with cyberpunk as a genre. But, you know, like eventually you figure out what suits you. Don't be afraid to pick up some young adult science fiction or fantasy or novels, just because they're aimed at young adults, they're easier to read,
mm-hmm.
and it feels good to complete those books. And you know, if you
come on, Brad, you can do it. Yes.
And if you don't hit your 15 books for the year,
stand.
If you don't hit your 15 books for the year, that's fine. You know,
yeah. Just keep trying.
Yeah. Don't beat yourself up too much about it.
Yeah.
And I wish I had thought more about this before I started answering, but there's you know, a lot of good stuff out there. I just feel like all the stuff I read tends to be like a fantasy series, mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I just started this Naomi Novik series because she's got another one that I like. But you know, Stephen King has a new book coming out in September called Fairy Tale. I'm sure it'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Hill, you know, his book, I think it's called Strange Weather. It's four novellas.
Yeah.
And it feels pretty easy to access each of those four different stories collected in one book, or read some short fiction by Joe Hill or Orson Scott Card or Brandon Sanderson or whoever, mm-hmm. and go from there. But yeah,
hell
love
yeah.
to read. Love Stephen King.
All right. From Robert Williams, subject line, Fun Bearable. Hey guys, I think the new podcast, Fun Bearable, is a fantastic idea. Some of my favorite episodes are the ones with Ray on them. I find the both of you hilarious, and when Ray is on, the three of you take it to another level. Can't wait. Thanks, Rob. We love you, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
I got a message, too. Let's see. Message. Question for the pod. This is from Chris Revel of Let's Chat with Chris Revel. Who was both of your white whale guests that you didn't have on and hope to have on the new show? I think one that, in terms of keeping it realistic.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith. We got to get Kevin Smith on.
Yeah,
I think we can, and I think we can do it at this point.
For me, I think a lot of the authors I just mentioned, I was like, yeah, sure, we can reach out to an author. They're not doing press, but they're doing a ton of press. It's just not us.
Yeah.
So I think we could have a great conversation with Joe Hill about rock and roll and horror.
Hell yes.
And, you know, his career, whether the comics he's written or the novels he's written or, you know, the adaptations he has overseen.
Nosferatu
or Wraith,
mm-hmm.
You know, going in different directions, Lock and Key.
Did you see the big Marvel leak today?
I did not.
There's a guy who's claiming to like leak all this, like who knows all this stuff. And he just like leaked a ton of stuff, like who's going to be in the next Avengers movie and who they've cast as like
wow.
Mr. Fantastic and all these different people. Something was really interesting. Oh, it was basically that the guy who played Ralph Boner, who was Quicksilver in the X-Men movies, he is going to stay and he's not Ralph Boner. But they said he's not Quicksilver, which would be so bizarre.
It's very weird.
But they're basically saying he's going to be Human Torch.
Okay.
And that the Fantastic Four movie is going to start with the Fantastic Four like disbanded.
Oh.
But we'll see.
All right.
I do believe they're not going to do an origin story for Fantastic Four, but we'll see. By the way, some comments, because I put up a post that was like, if you want any questions, from Tony Cancalia. How do you say his last name?
Ciancola?
Ciancola. Are you guys still going to do your October horror movie watches? I like the idea of you making Ray watch multiple Leprechaun, Puppet Master, Demonic Toys, and Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys type movies.
Judas Priest.
Fuck yeah, we are. I got a great idea for next 4th of July. I hope we can do it.
Yep.
I hope we can do it. I would love to do it.
Ernest Founds America.
I can't do it. But yeah, we're definitely doing it. Chris Downey writes, can we label this episode 500? Yes, we can.
Yeah, we can.
Chad Kafka, Brad's old buddy, says, hashtag Kafka's Tacos never dies.
Oh my gosh. Fuck that it does. Blast from the past.
Blast from the past for...
Classy Chad Kafka.
Classy Chad. And let me just make sure there's nothing on Twitter before we continue, because I want to make sure we don't miss anything from people. What are you saying to me, baby? Well, we'll read the next email. What do we got?
All right, we got one from Scott. He says, just wanted to wish you both the best of luck with the new pod. I'm going to miss the introspective moments that come from such silly conversations on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. You both seem like remarkable people who deserve all the happiness and success possible. Can't wait for what's next. Scott in Illinois.
You're going to continue to get those introspective moments that come from silly conversations. I promise, and I think you're going to love what comes out of the new podcast. Love you, buddy.
From
Daniel Desmond.
Dan D. Hey, Chuck and Brad. Thank you for the years of episodes. I learned about you from TESD, and you're now one of my favorite podcasts. I want to congratulate you on your success, and I'm excited to see what happens next. Hopefully a Patreon or even a magnet. I hope that Brad gets to eventually work fully in the creative field. Change is always something that has to happen in business. Chuby and Raby for life and future Bearby. Turtle Power, Dan D from WV.
Fuck. Yeah. Love you, buddy. This guy is a great, wonderful man. Lots of stuff coming. I'm also hoping that this is going to get Brad out of his soul-killing job. No offense.
I was flippant with a supervisor today.
How dare you?
Kind of it.
That's as bad as it gets.
Next one from Hector. Good evening, Chuck and Brad. I just wanted to say thank you for everything. Thank you both and Ray for the laughs and thoughts, playlist suggestions, movie suggestions, and airing of grievances throughout the podcast. Though it's not like you're leaving forever, it is a new chapter. And before you start it, I'd just like to say it was and is a great podcast. It got me through many good times, bad times, and times I needed something to listen to while not freezing during ice storms and doing yard work or on the job or just sitting outside at night with my dog enjoying the dulcet tones of y'all's laughter to wind down for the day. Yeah, let's describe Chuck's laughter as dulcet. thanks again. Can't wait to hear the new show. And from a San Antonio Chuby, stay gold, Pony Boys. And because he mentioned a dog, he included a photo of his dog. Oh, my gosh.
That's a cool dog.
The dog is named Logan.
Cool dog.
Dog's got a cool hat.
Love
cool
it.
Cool tongue. Cool
you rule,
bandana.
Hector.
Thank you, Hector.
I love you, buddy. All right. J-Drop. This is a new one. So long, and thanks for all the fish. Chuck and Brad. So this is it. This is the end. I'm certainly sad, if not disappointed, about this move. I've been listening since the TESD interviews and the CNB podcast have become one of my go-to podcasts. I've been dipping into the older episodes and certainly enjoy them all quite a bit. I wish you guys the best. Truthfully, I'm disappointed about this move. I like the Chuck and Brad podcast because of Chuck and Brad. While my own journey to your podcast started with interview series, I grew to appreciate the candid talk between Chuck and Brad as well as your stories. I understand the need to grow, and it seems that we'll be getting more interviews, more guests, and a third member of the team, which means we'll be getting less of what I enjoy about the show, Brad and Chuck and their stories. Yeah, we'll get it here and there, but it will be diluted. I don't want to diss Ray. His reoccurring appearances on your podcast certainly had moments. Anyhow, best of luck, fellas. I certainly missed the magic that this podcast had. JD, I promise you, buddy, you're going to love the new show. We got so much stuff to come. And you're going to fall in love with old Ray, because Ray has a lot of, it's funny because one of the things I think that Ray didn't put on Front Street in his podcast, you know, Ray Harrington Must Content, was a lot of his behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things that kind of bummed him out, is that every week it was a new person he had to talk to and connect with. So he didn't really get to do a lot of the introspective stuff. And I think when you find all three of us together, hopefully continuing to grow our careers, hopefully growing the podcast. I'd love if the podcast branched out and did live shows and we got to do more of that stuff and we got to do more fun and interesting things. I think you're going to find that you get all this, the best of what you like about Chuck and Brad and more. And Ray's going to weasel his way into your heart like a heartworm as well.
Like a heart weasel.
Like a heart weasel, like me. Let's see. And is there anything else? I want to make sure I don't have any other lingering messages that I'm missing before we get to this last email.
Yeah.
No, I think we're good. Okay.
All right. This one's changes. It's from Richard.
Yes.
Guys, I have a few very important questions about the changes with Funbearable. I don't think it's hyperbole to say the answer to these very important questions will determine my listening habits. Question one, will we still get Chuck and Brad episode 500?
Hell yeah,
you're
getting
it right now. Question two, what should we call Ray on this new podcast? I'm leaning towards either usurper, hanger-on, or coattail rider, but thought we should get an official title. Question three, what's your favorite theme park ride of all time? Thanks, Richard.
I'll say this funny thing. What? First of all, this is episode 500.
There you go.
Number two, here's a funny thing. When Tell 'Em Steve Dave was starting, I don't know how much of Tell 'Em Steve Dave you listened to, especially the early episodes, but they go through a bunch of their ideas in the first couple episodes in terms of what to call the show. One of them famously was Joint Counter Joint because Brian wanted to be high and talk to Walt and whatever.
Right.
But one of the ideas they floated was Of the Coat, or like Tales of the Coat, because they're coattail riders of Kevin Smith.
Right.
And when I was first on Tell 'Em Steve Dave and we had the Tell 'Em Steve Dave guys on our show, someone commented on it and they said, what is this? Tales of the Coat of the Coat.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Which is funny. And theme park ride. I really love the Spider-Man ride in Universal. And I love the first Harry Potter ride. It's like unparalleled to me. It's so fucking good. The Transformers ride is great.
Yep.
I love Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is so good. I don't know.
A straight roller coaster for me. I think it's the Shockwave roller coaster at Six Flags Great America because that was new-ish when I was like at the right age.
Yes.
And that was one, I think my friend Lars and I rode it 7 times in a row without getting out of our seat. At the end of the night, you know, like his dad is staring at his watch and calculating like traffic on the way home. And we're like, woo, like, I have since grown up and I don't think my body can handle adrenaline or, you know, or shaking anymore.
Adrenaline.
And so now I'd have to say my favorite theme park ride would be like a comfortable bench in an air conditioned eatery.
Yes.
I don't know if that counts. But yeah, that's the Shockwave roller coaster at Six Flags Great America was a favorite of mine for a long time. And you know, we'll call Ray Ray on the new podcast. I mean, you know, we'll call Ray 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 was what I meant to say.
Oh, Ray Ray, I like that. It sounds like a black name. Can I say that?
Yeah, you probably can.
All right. I don't know.
Probably not a ton of white Ray Rays, right?
I don't think so. but I will say there's one more ride I wanted to shout out. Oh, I love the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster.
Oh, that's fun too.
That's a good one. Yeah. But you know what? That one, my nerves get really crazy when we start it because it's like three. It has the stoplight.
Yeah.
One. And then you automatically go and the first thing you do is go upside down. So that one scares me good.
Probably 2009, maybe 2010, I went to Six Flags New England, whatever it's called, and was going up on the Superman roller coaster. And like I just felt terrible. My friend Dragonbeard was with me next to me and I turned to him and I said, why am I doing this? I don't like this feeling.
Yeah, it's tough.
And but you know, when we were in Florida a couple years ago and Lou and I went on the Hulk roller coaster that if I remember you wimped out.
I couldn't figure out how to put the thing on.
And then Lou and I went on the Rocket roller coaster, something at Universal, the one that goes like straight up and straight down.
Oh, yeah.
Then I was so worried about having stuff in my pockets because there were signs all over the place that were like, don't have anything in your pockets. And I'm like, they're cargo shorts. What could I possibly, and all my cargo's falling out.
All of your heroin needles.
Yes.
My eighth needle.
Yeah, the people behind me were like, hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, we have eighth now.
Yes, thank you all. for writing in.
Fuck yeah.
Like the fact that we were able to reach anybody, let alone people that are thoughtful and care, like who care about the project.
Yeah.
Who care about the next project.
And they're invested not only in our projects, but in like our happiness.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
It's really, it's amazing.
It feels nice.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. When we started it, I didn't know how long we were going to go, and I didn't, you know, is anybody outside of our circle of friends going to listen to it? So the fact that our circle of friends has expanded to include people from West Virginia or from Canada or from Australia or like just all over the place, just, I can't wrap my head around it. It doesn't make sense.
I love it. I love it.
But I appreciate everyone, whether you wrote in once, whether you wrote in every week, whether you didn't write in at all.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're a person I went to college with and I didn't know you listened until a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're a friend I made in the past 4 months, like,
yeah,
it means a lot that people care.
Absolutely. And you know, when Fun Bearable comes out, all we're hoping to do is reach more people and get more of a community and encourage more people to follow their passions and enjoy art and laugh and have a good time.
Yeah.
And so when you see Fun Bearable come out, please, you know, share this stuff, tell other people, get involved. We'd love to be able to, like I said, do the live shows, do bigger shows, connect with people in a better way. You know, I wish we had merch. I wish we had different things that I'm really hoping that we're going to be able to achieve with Fun Bearable and really be able to just personally connect with people even more than we have.
Right.
And everything we've done means so much to me. And I just want more of that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that this is the move to make that happen.
Right.
So yeah, I love everybody. I love you, Brad. You've been,
I love you too, buddy.
You've been here for, you know, long time with me, sitting across from this table, and we've gone through ups and downs and rights and lefts. And
have we gone through ups?
We've gone through ups. We still have downs. And you're mad that you laughed at that.
I am.
Damn it. But yeah, it's been incredible that that we've had this place to kind of reconnect every week and just like talk about what's going on and grow and really take everything we love and have a place to jizz all over it.
And being able to look back.
I kind of wanted those to be the last words.
Yeah. I didn't. To know that, you know, 2 years ago ish, you were like, I don't think I'm ever going to make a living doing creative stuff. I don't think I'm ever going to get through to these Tuesdays jamokes.
Yeah.
And, to see where you're at now is really inspiring.
To see where we're all, you know, the rising tide, all ships. And I think Fun Bearable is the rising tide.
Yeah.
That is pulling us all. You know, I you know, just to throw out some fun stuff, Kevin Smith just bought a movie theater right near my house, about 30 minutes away in New York. His movie theater is in New Jersey. I'm in New York.
Right.
I'm really hoping that we get to connect more with Kevin and Ernie and do more live shows there. You know, the Chuck and Brad, the Bradley Drawn stuff, the Fun Bearable stuff, whatever we want to do. That's the Alamo Drafthouse Theater that loves to do movie-based special events. I'm hoping we get to communicate with them and we get to do live stuff there. That puts us in a great position. And even this past week of you and Ray being able to come to New York and actually making the relationships with Joe List and Walt and the Tell 'em Steve Dave guys and all that stuff actually work out and get to a point where it helps us make new, interesting, fun, inventive video projects and podcasts is like, to me, proof positive that this is going to help us expand further.
I think so too.
You know, so I love you guys. Like I said, I love Brad. I just said it again. Yeah.
Just you know, give Fun Bearable a chance. We think it's going to be some really good work that people are going to appreciate.
Yeah, and I really think if you did like our show, you will like Fun Bearable.
I think so too.
So next Thursday, man, August 25th is the day. We're going to have funbearablepod.com and Fun Bearable Pod on every social media platform. Yep. Please help us spread the word.
You know,
subscribe.
You can email us.
Email us at funbearablepod@gmail.com.
Now, we won't be able to answer them. for a while.
No, we can. I was talking to Ray. I'm like, what if we want to do a bonus episode where we do some emails? He's like, hell yeah.
Sure.
So we'll do some stuff like that. Write us. I want to know next week when you listen to the first episode, tell us what you think. Write us at funbearablepod@gmail.com.
Yep.
And of course, we will still be checking the Chuck and Brad email here and there. So if anyone needs to respond, feel free to do that too.
Yep.
Follow us at funbearablepod. The Chuck and Brad podcast continues. Ray Harrington Must Content continues. It's going to be a big step only in the right direction.
Thank you all so much for listening.
For 13 fucking years.
We appreciate you. We don't take you for granted. That's all I've got.
I can't believe it. That's all I've got.
Deuces. You know, I never really liked deuces as a closing line.
Yeah, we should change it.